The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
The COVID-19 pandemic changed many aspects of our lives, and one of the most notable shifts in healthcare has been a greater awareness of how health outcomes differ across different communities. We saw that with COVID, and somehow our medical research has not always kept up. Well, a new campaign at UCC aims to make health research more inclusive, to include underserved groups like women, ethnic minorities, LGBTQ plus individuals, older adults, people with disabilities. Now, to talk about this further, I'm joined by Director of Research and a Professor in Patient-Focused Research at the HRB Clinical Research Facility at UCC, Senior Lecturer in Epidemiology in the School of Public Health, Frances Sheely. Frances, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, you can give me an example of one little medical device which does give different results depending on the type of patient we have. I'm talking about the pulse oximeter.
That's correct, Pat. And I suppose this really got highlighted during COVID-19, which saw a huge upsurge in the number of trials being conducted. There were 22,000 COVID trials alone. And of course, oxygen levels was really important determinant of who was really ill. And it was found that pulse oximeters, which, you know, it's that little thing most people, if they've been in hospital, on their finger to measure the oxygen levels, isn't measured. They don't measure oxygen levels in people with darker skin. In fact, they overestimate the oxygen levels.
So you'd be looking for somewhere over 90%, ideally somewhere over 95%. And if you are at that rate, then you're doing okay. Your oxygen levels are fine. But if it's telling you you're over 95% and you're in fact way below that, this is a real problem.
Yes, it's a real problem. So because it was used to determine whether treatment, you know, further treatment was necessary, such as giving enhanced oxygen. And obviously people then didn't get treatment that they needed and ended up with worse health outcomes. And we know that, you know, certain groups during COVID-19 were more affected by adverse health outcomes, those being ethnic minority communities. There's an example why other people living with obesity or multimorbidity as well.
So this is part of a wider problem that when they do drug trials, or even in this case, it was an instrument trial, I suppose, that gave the green light to the oximeter for everybody. When they do it, they tend to use a particular kind of cohort. Would you say is healthy, right? Male, white?
Exactly. Yeah, so the focus really for many years, I mean, trials are relatively new in a way. Randomization only came into trials in the 1950s. And so, and they've changed a lot and changed a lot in the last couple of years since COVID, since all of this came to light. So people were very much focused on the number of people in your trial, because if you don't get that correct, you know, you can't make the calculations for the outcomes. But now the focus has switched to who should be in your trial. And this is really important for the reasons we've just outlined. Like, other examples would be studies of orthopedic implants. Usually people with cognitive impairment are excluded from trials. It's almost blanket across all trials because it's quite difficult to get their consent.
Sure.
So, but 40% of, like, if you take hip fracture trials, 40% of hip fracture have cognitive impairment. So that group should not be excluded from those trials. But that's what traditionally has been done.
And yet, you, as you say, the difficulty of obtaining consent from someone to participate in such a trial is huge.
Yes, it's huge. So like trials are, they're long and arduous and very expensive. So, you know, focusing on getting people into the trial takes money. But it's not impossible, you know, to extend your inclusion criteria and work with, you know, carers or, you know, somebody else that can give consent. There's a lot of work done on this now across the UK with the Include framework to include underserved groups. And that would include people with cognitive impairment as well. That's just one example.
That's a quite a specific area, I suppose, those orthopedic implants. But more generally, I mean, you know, men and women have heart attack, men and women get cancers, men and women have all the common diseases, and yet women may react differently to a drug regime and may not be adequately represented in the trial to get an outcome.
Exactly. So, as you pointed out at the start, traditionally our trials have, included the well-educated, white, male-dominated. But I'm glad to say that it is changing, and that's what we're attempting to do with our project now in UCC, is to educate the next team of trial researchers to be more inclusive. So the first thing, and also funders are looking for this now, when we apply for funding to conduct our research, they want to know who are the groups most affected by the research the research area you're working on. And that's really, really important that we get that green light and a steer from our funders to say, this is important, this is what you want us to show us, or we're not going to fund your research. And therefore that will make changes to make our research more inclusive and reach the groups that they should reach.
Now, you do have a problem in the United States. I mean, this is obviously a European initiative, but in the United States, where Donald Trump has eliminated any mention of DEI, which therefore would guarantee representation of minority groups in all sorts of areas of life, I'm sure this will affect clinical trials in the United States.
Yeah, so this is a frightening situation that we find ourselves in as scientists and health researchers. The majority of trials around the world are done in the United States. It's the largest number of trials being conducted anywhere. And so the exclusion of these people is really going to narrow our research. It's going to do a lot of harm in these years coming, because trust in health research is really, really important, and particularly for ethnic minorities and underserved groups. We know that evidence shows us that the lack of trust is a reason why these groups don't get involved in research, and why we need to work closer with them. And I suppose the other thing about Trump's policies now is that trust in the data that we see coming out of the United States, can we trust the research that we're seeing? And so that's something that's going to, I think, go.
But even the, if you like, historical research from recent history, not from ancient history, in the United States is not good about women's health. For example, the mortality rate due to complications from pregnancy or childbirth in the United States was 22.3 per 100,000 live births. In Ireland, it's a third of that. It's 8.3. And within those figures in the United States, which are scandalous for a developed country, it hides even further figures, because for black women, it's 49.5 deaths per 100,000 people, which is, five, six times what it is in Ireland, which is disgraceful.
Absolutely. And, that's one example, I suppose, that I've pointed out. But if you looked at many disease areas across the United States, you'll find the same thing as well. And, to be fair, I did point out it's also the same in Europe. But we are getting better. And I at including the people that need to be included. And I think, Europe in funding acknowledges that we have work to do, and to make sure that we don't marginalise groups. And I suppose the other point, Pat, that's really important is, we can list out, underserved groups, and we can say, it's women, women of childbearing age. The factors vary, on health status, different social and economic factors, but really important, it's specific to each area that you're doing. So it's not necessarily a group that you would think is typically underserved, such as an ethnic minority. Depending on the disease area that you're working with, it can focus, for instance, children can typically be underserved. So we often, medical devices is an example of that. We just repurpose medical devices that are developed for adults in children, and you can get entirely different readings. They have growing bodies. The size of the devices can be wrong. So it's not just necessary, like I say, the groups that you think are typically underserved. There are other areas we need to really work on.
Okay, so
well,
the broad principle would be, look at the incidence of the condition that you're trying to research, and make sure that incidence in terms of the different groups is reflected in the testing cohort.
Exactly. So your population should include those that will benefit most from the research. And there's a logo now that the patients and the public say, no trials for us without us. And I think that sums it up.
It does indeed. No trials for us without us. Frances Sheely, who's Director of Education, a professor in patient-focused research at the HRB Clinical Research Facility at UCC, senior lecturer in epidemiology in the School of Public Health. Frances, thank you very much for joining us on the programme.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.